First Chronicles chapter 15, please. First Chronicles chapter 15. And I want to read this evening verse number 13. Verse number 13. I want to preach tonight upon the subject, the due order. The due order. And we see that expression in verse number 13. Verse 13, the Bible says, "For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought Him not after the due order." We sought Him not after the due order. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You tonight for the reading of the Word of God, and we pray now Your blessings upon the preaching of it. But Lord, I pray now Your blessings upon the Word of God this evening, in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in the Bible, it talks about the matter of a due order. And in a few minutes, I'll explain why the statement is used in the context of this particular passage of Scripture. In other words, what is being referenced. We'll deal with that in just a moment. But the words, the due order, it certainly suggests something that I think is important tonight. We understand this evening that things are to be done decently and in order. In fact, God is a God of order. Everything God does is in order. In fact, I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 40, where it even mentions the fact that it talks about things being done decently and in order. Now, if you go back and look at that 14th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, you know that at that particular time, in that period of time, there were those that spoke in tongues or spoke in languages. We know that it was languages. It was not simply babbling of something that was not understandable, but it was the ability to communicate. And I'm thinking, of course, about the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the Word of God to the people that assembled there from different backgrounds, language backgrounds, but yet he communicated the gospel in the language of their origin where they could understand. God supernaturally worked and allowed Peter to preach in other languages without having to go to language school. They heard the gospel in their own language. Now, there was a certain amount of that went on for a while in the early church. But it was never a babbling of tongues. It was always the fact that it was communicating in an audible language. And the requirement in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 was that things be done decently and in order. If a person speaks, they needed to have an interpreter. And it's just the thought there is simply this, that whatever God does, He has it to be done in order. That's just like in the matter of a church. We have church government. We have a church constitution. We have standards that we abide by. We do things decently and in order. It's not a situation of pandemonium. We come in, we sit down, we listen reverently to the Word of God. We have the various components that make up the church service, but nothing is just done half-shod. In other words, things are done decently and in order. I know sometimes we talk about the fact of, you know, we do things somewhat mechanical, but yet the positive thing to that is the fact it still suggests orderliness. We sing a certain time, the choir sings a certain time, and I preach a certain time, we take up offering a certain time, but that still suggests the idea of orderliness, and we must have it. I think it's important. I know sometimes we jokingly talk about that, but I wouldn't have it any other way. We still need to be things being done decently and in order. I remember years ago when I first got saved, I'd visit every church I had an opportunity, and I didn't even look at the label on the sign. It didn't make any difference to me at that point in time. I was so zealous and excited about learning all I could learn and canning all I learned. You know, like someone said, learn all you can and can all you learn. I just love to go to church. And I'd go anywhere. And I know that's not a very good thing to do because you can wind up in some unusual situations. I went to a holiness church. And I was standing there and a guy was standing beside me. And all of a sudden that fella lit out, took off running and run around the church. Made a loop around the church. then came back and stood beside me just as calm and collected. He looked over at me. He said, when you got to do it, you got to do it. And I never did understand what the message that he was conveying. But to me, it didn't seem too orderly, though. But you see, the Bible would indicate to us that things are to be done decently and in order. Orderliness makes for happier and even healthier living. Orderliness in a home is good. Orderliness, for example, in our homes, if things are kept clean, if a house is kept clean, if there's orderliness, if you have people that turn a house into a packed rat collection of everything and everything, then it becomes difficult. Living is not too good in a situation like that. There ought to be orderliness. We ought to insist on it. It's a biblical principle. And we can't get away from it. God is a God of order. The universe is run by God in an orderly fashion. How did the astronomers know that the solar eclipse would occur August the 21st, 2017? The reason they knew that is based upon the precise revolution of the earth around the sun, coupled with the earth's tilt, and factoring in the earth's rotation and position of the moon at a precise time would allow for the moon to be directly in front of the sun. But it could be computed, it could be calculated because of the orderliness of this universe, of the rotation, of the revolution. And it's God that gets the credit for that. God has set everything in order. Now, one person I noticed made a comment about that afterwards. They were, I think it was a state, one of the western states. What state was that where it really, where it's 100% almost? I think it was Oregon. Right, I think it's Oregon. One person there that was being interviewed, they said it was a miracle. They said it was a miracle. And I thought about that. It's a miracle in a sense. But yet creation is the miracle. In other words, a miracle is in creation. That's just how the Creator operates. And that's a spin-off from that. The fact that it happened that way. You know, disorder and confusion are products created in the devil's workshop. God is a God of order, but the devil is known for disorder. Redeeming grace takes disorder and puts order there. Salvation takes a life that's been tortured and ruined and disorderly because of sin. And salvation puts orderliness into a person's life. I think of the maniac of the Gadarenes. I think of his state of his life prior to the Lord Jesus touching him and God casting out those demons. That man was in a state of chaos. That man was turbulent. That man was among the tombs. That man was naked. That man couldn't be controlled. That man was, literally, he was a maniac, in a maniac condition. But when Jesus came to the coast of the Gadarenes, and Jesus got a hold of that man's life, order was restored. We see the man in his right mind. We see the man at the feet of Jesus. We see him wanting to follow the Lord. That's how it is, you see. God is a God of order. The devil is of disorder. Now, okay, we come to this passage. What's the point here? Here's the point. You'd have to read the whole passage to see this. But did you know what? Did you know the Ark of the Covenant, which spoke of Christ, was to be carried on the shoulders of the Levites, who were the priests? And just before this account, here's what had happened. And of course, David made a major mistake. When it came to transporting the ark, which spoke of Christ, there was a major mistake that was made. The ark was placed on what the Bible calls a new cart. And at one point, the ark was unsteady, and a man by the name of Uzzah reached out to touch the ark to try to steady it. God smote him. God smote him. And there is a sober lesson there. I'll tell you, anything that has to do with Christ has to be taken serious. That ark spoke of Christ. And I'll tell you, God has always protected divine types. Anything in the Bible that is of a typological importance has to be guarded and protected, because that speaks of Christ. And there can be nothing out of order. The ark was to be handled by no one but priests. That's what the Old Testament teaches. The unholy people had no business with an attempted familiarity with that which represented Christ. Uzzah had no business touching that ark. He could not gain any kind of a familiarity with that which spoke of Christ. Only the priests, the Levites, could carry that ark. And so he messed up. The work of God is centered in Christ. Here's my application. The work of God is centered in Christ, and only those who know Him in redemption are qualified to serve Him. God's work must be done God's way and in the right way. And that lesson is crystal clear. God has a due order. The due order was violated. Uzzah violated that due order. And so that verse there that talks about due order is talking about the fact that God had a due order when it came to the matter of transporting the ark. It had to be done a right way, at the right time. It had to be taken to the right place. You couldn't violate that. That's sacred. That's important. I want to preach somewhat of a topical message tonight, if I can. And let me simply take that thought, due order, and make some application with a topical type of an approach. Here's my first point. I believe there's a due order when it comes to salvation. There's a due order. We know what that is. The right way is a one way, and the one way is through Christ. There's a due order. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said. That's due order. No one can violate the due order. Nobody comes in the side door. Nobody comes in the back door. Anybody in salvation comes through the door, which is Christ. When Noah built the ark, there was a door on the side of the ark, wasn't there? And the door was open. Noah and his family went in, and God closed the door. And my friend, tonight, that reminds us of the fact of the cross of Christ. Jesus is the ark. I want you to know that on the cross of Calvary, He was crucified. His side was pierced. As that door was on the side of the ark, you and I can come into the ark of safety because of the cross work of Christ, and particularly His crucifixion, which included His sides being pierced, and His hands, and so forth. There's a due order. No one comes over the fence. No one comes in illegally. You come the right way, and I've been preaching that now for about 2 weeks in a row, but again, that's a major point. I love a little poem that I read that was written for a little child, and I thought this little poem says it all. The poem is entitled, How Old Ought I to Be? Dear mother, said a little maid, please whisper it to me. Before I am a Christian, how old ought I to be? How old ought you to be, dear child, before you can love me? I always loved you, mommy mine, since I was tiny wee. I love you now, and always will, the little daughter said, and on her mother's shoulder laid her golden, curly head. How old, little girlie, must you be before you trust my care? Oh, mother dear, I do. I trust you everywhere. How old ought you to be, my child, to do the things I say? The little child looked up and said, I can do that today. Then you can be a Christian too. Don't wait till you are grown. Tell Jesus now you come to Him to be His very own. Then as the little maid knelt down and said, Lord, if I may, I'd like to be a Christian now. He answered, yes, today. That says it. There's a due order when it comes to salvation. Salvation is simple as the ABCs. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. No one distorts God's plan. It is called a plan of salvation, you know. It's a plan. A plan has had some thought. A plan has an outline. A plan has an orderly sequence. How does a person get saved? They hear the Bible. They get under conviction. They're drawn to Christ under conviction of the Spirit of God. They admit they're a sinner. They call on the Lord. They ask Christ to come in. And that's how they're saved. There's a plan. It's a simple plan. A tract was written called The Simple Plan of Salvation. It is so simple, it profounds the minds of the scholarly and the intelligentsia of our land because it seems too simple. But oh, thank God, I'm glad it is simple. I'm glad that a child can understand. We've had children in our Sunday school classes saved. And isn't it wonderful that Almighty God, in all of His omniscience, can communicate His will to the mind of a 6- and a 5-year-old child. That's a wondrous thing, isn't it? Due order. There's a due order when it comes to the matter of salvation. There's a due order when it comes to the matter of serving God. Serving God. There's a due order. You know, the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's the due order. If you want to know how to serve God, you've got to begin by having faith, by trusting Him. You can't please Him without faith. You've heard the acrostic on the word faith, haven't you? You know what it means, don't you? Faith, F-A-I-T-H. F, forsaking. A, all. I. T, take. H, Him. That's faith. Forsaking all, I take Him. We can't serve God without faith. It is dishonoring to the Lord when we do not believe Him. Let me bring this down on a human level. It is a disheartening, hurtful thing in a household when one family member distrusts another family member. It hurts the heart of a parent when a child does not respect their counsel and basically spits in the face of counsel. But when a child believes their parent and trusts their parent, the parent's happy and the child is happy. When you have husband and wife relationship, there has to be trust for that relationship to be healthy. Now let's bring that on the higher level. When it comes to the matter of serving God, we can't serve Him apart from faith. We've got to believe Him. We've got to trust Him. So to serve God by trusting Him means that I'm going to believe His promises. I'm going to take Him at His word. I'm going to believe specifically that He'll never leave me nor forsake me, and He's going to supply my needs, and He's going to give me victory. You see, that's to take God at His word. That's to believe Him by faith. There's a due order. We can't serve God apart from faith. We can't. It is absolutely impossible, because he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Somebody said, faith is a pencil of the soul that pictures heavenly things. Faith, it binds our nothingness to His almightiness. Faith ends where worry begins, and worry ends where faith begins. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. There's a due order. There's a due order in salvation. There's a due order in service. And then there's a due order when it comes to the matter of strength. Where do I get my strength from? How am I to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? There's a due order. How are we strengthened? How do we gain strength? Well, here's a good verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the old songwriter said, "Teach me, Lord, to wait." You see, there's a due order. We're not going to be strong in ourselves. We never master it. We never learn so much to where we can rest on our laurels and say, "Well, now I finally arrived and I have enough learning and understanding that I can just kind of coast along and, you know, I can be happy now with what I know." That does not work. We can't become strong simply by human resources or social events or people being friends of ours. And that's important. Thank God for good friends. But the strength comes by waiting upon the Lord. The strength comes by depending on the Lord. The strength comes from God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There's a due order. Then I would say tonight there's a due order when it comes to success. You want to know how to be successful? I can tell you how not to be successful. Don't think success is in money, because it isn't. Have you recently checked out the statistics on suicides? You'd be surprised to find out a lot of those suicide cases are rich people. They didn't find it in money, did they? People have built their empires, have had all kinds of power, status among people, but have been literally miserable. A person's miserable and unsuccessful apart from Christ. Where is real success? Well, again, since we believe the Bible, we believe the Bible has the answer, don't we? You know, actually, my friend, you don't have to look to me for the answer to that. You actually could look right in the Bible too, but I'll read it for you to save you having to turn. But you know where? You know how we have success? Here it is. You ready? Joshua 1:8. Here it is. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Joshua 1:8. What did Joshua say was the key to success? Being taken up with God's Word. Staying with the Bible. Loving it. Reading it. Claiming it. Memorizing it. Quoting it. Teaching it. It's about the book. It's about the Word of God. That's the due order for success. You know, I like the verse that says, it talks about those that love thy law. I want you to think about this. It's a powerful truth here. The Bible talks about those that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. If you love the law, nothing shall offend them. Now, does anybody know where that's found? I did know, but I thank God I still remember the verse. Now, don't everybody turn in your concordance right now. Let's stay with me. If a person loves the law, the word, nothing shall offend them. You know, we live in a time where it's easy to offend people. And we live in a time where we're offended easy. But you know what I've noticed? When we really love God's word, we're set up for success. We're not going to be offended so easy. Why? Because we know. Because our eyes and our attention are upon the main standard of life, and our heart and desires to please the Lord, not people. So when people come at us and say hurtful things, we can still handle it. If we love God and love the author of the book, Bible says nothing will offend us. It's kind of a dead giveaway. When someone so easily hurt and so easily offended, I wonder, what is their relationship with the book? Think about it. There could be something there. There's a due order when it comes to strength. There's a due order when it comes to success. There's a due order when it comes to satisfaction. Here's a good verse. My soul shall be satisfied, as with marrow and fatness. In my mouth shall praise thee with joyful noise. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. There's a due order when it comes to satisfaction. I'll tell you, the devil can't do a whole lot with a person that's satisfied in Jesus. Amen. When we find that he truly does feel the longing in our soul, when we're taken up with him, when we have that attitude like expressed in the Song of Solomon. I've got a sermon I've preached sometime on that passage, and I may preach it again real soon. How many of y'all remember it? Let me see your hand. God's leading me to preach it again. It didn't take the first time, did it? I am my beloved's, and he's mine. Boy, when you can say that, and it comes from a heart of gratitude, you're in good shape. You're in good shape. I am my beloved's. He is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. I'll tell you, that's a heartfelt love for the beloved. And old Peter. Don't you love Peter? Peter denied his Lord 3 times. Jesus asked him 3 times, did he love him? And then Peter turns around and writes an epistle and highlights the word love. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'd say Peter got it, wouldn't you? He got it. He denied his Lord 3 times. Jesus questioned him 3 times, and he got it, and he wrote the epistle under inspiration. My friend, the due order for satisfaction is loving the Lord. Fall in love with Christ. I'll tell you something. You know what really makes a church go forward and really what makes a church successful? It's not a lot of talented people. That's not the only thing. It's not people with a lot of ability. But we appreciate ability. It's not even a preacher that can halfway preach a sermon. It's not musicians that can sing. Though we never take that for granted. You know what really makes a church a successful going forward church? It's a church that's filled with people that simply love Jesus. You see, and I'm glad of this. I'm glad that when it comes to the matter of qualifications, God makes it possible that all of us, by His grace, can qualify in the things that mean the most. Loving the Lord is more important than singing like a songbird. Loving the Lord is more important than my preaching a sermon. Loving the Lord. And now that's how we can be successful in our life for Jesus Christ. But God has a due order. Let's respect His order, and our lives will be blessed. Let's pray.